Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off in Abuja, Nigeria, where reporter Samson Omale joins us with a package of African football news. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. We begin with reactions from Friday's draw of the 2018 Russia World Cup, where Nigeria's Super Eagles will confront two-time world champions Argentina for the fifth time at the 2018 FIFA World Cup in Russia. The final World Cup draw at the State Kremlin Palace in Moscow pitched Nigeria in Group D together with Argentina, Croatia, and newcomers Iceland. Super Eagles coach Geraint Rau says his group is an interesting one.
To play this team also, the Argentina we know that Argentina is a very good team, but know them a little bit will be more difficult now than in the friendly. Iceland is a very good team also, very strong physically, so will be interesting group.
And now to East Africa, where Kenya's Harambee Stars got their 2017 Council for East and Central Africa Football Association competition, popularly known as the CECAFA Senior Challenge Cup, off to a cracking start by defeating Rwanda's Amavubi 2-0 in a thrilling Group A match at the Bukhungu Stadium in Kakamega. Paul Put is the new manager of the Harambee Stars.
First game in the tournament, it's very important that you get the good result. I think against Rwanda, who is playing or qualified for CHAN, you know they have quality in the team.
The Warriors of Zimbabwe pulled out as guests at the 11th hour, citing insecurity in Kenya as the reason. In women's football on the continent, the Nigerian national women's under-17 team, the Flamingos, secured a morale-boosting 1-1 draw with Ethiopia in the first leg of their 2018 FIFA World Cup qualifier in Addis Ababa on Sunday. Elsewhere, the South African under-17 women's national team, the Bantwana, defeated Botswana 5-1 in the first leg round of the 2018 FIFA under-17 women's World Cup qualifier. We stay in Southern Africa, but this time around Zambia, where Zesco United are the new champions of Zambia after they defeated hard-fighting Mafulira Wanderers 3-2 to reclaim the Zambia Super League title from closest challengers Zanaco on Saturday. Prior to the match, Zesco, Zanaco and Nkana were all in contention for the title. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. In more African football news, the Atlas Lions of Morocco will play Iran in their opening match at next year's World Cup in Russia. The coaching staffs from both Morocco and Iran say the Group B encounter on June 15th will be like a World Cup final. The game will be played at the 68,000-seat St. Petersburg Stadium in St. Petersburg, Russia. Former Moroccan star Mustafa Hadji, now an assistant coach with the Atlas Lions, says, and I quote, "The first game will be our final. It will be a tough game because we watched Iran in qualifying and they have a very good team and a very good spirit. But if we win," says Hadji, "we have a great opportunity to reach the second round." Meanwhile, Iran's Portuguese head coach, Carlos Queiroz, says, and I quote, "It will be like our World Cup final. We'll play like we're playing for our lives." Coach Queiroz also praised his French counterpart from Morocco, Hervé Renard, describing him as a great coach who's in charge of a great team with fantastic players. Now, Group B also features neighbors Spain and Portugal, who between them have won the past three European titles and feature some of the greatest names in the sport, most notably Cristiano Ronaldo for Portugal. So both Morocco and Iran will certainly face tough challenges in trying to advance out of this World Cup group. In action Monday at the CECAFA Senior Challenge Cup football tournament in Kenya, Burundi and defending champion Uganda played to a scoreless draw. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, American golf star Tiger Woods has his best result in 4 years in the Bahamas. So please, keep on the sunny side.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Now let's go to Nassau in the Bahamas, where Tiger Woods showed he can be competitive again after playing in his first golf tournament in 10 months. Now, Tiger didn't win the Hero World Challenge in Nassau, finishing 10 shots behind winner and fellow American Ricky Fowler. But Tiger finished ninth in the 18-man field, his best result in 4 years. And perhaps more importantly, after four back surgeries in 3 years, Tiger's back held up, and he sounded optimistic at the post-tournament news conference.
This is the way I've been playing at home, and when I came down here and played, I was playing very similar to this. Not quite as hitting as far, because I didn't have the adrenaline going, but overall, I'm very pleased. I'm excited the way this week has gone on. You know, with the not only the competitive rounds, but also, you know, all the duties at night, you know, all the functions and still got my training in. It was a very good week.
After this very good week in the Bahamas, Tiger Woods was asked what his schedule looks like for 2018.
Well, I think they were just going to sit back and try to figure that out, you know, and as I said, I don't know what my schedule is going to be, but my expectations are is that I will be playing next year. How many, where, I don't know yet, but we'll figure all that out.
That's American golf star Tiger Woods, and Tiger was speaking in Nassau in the Bahamas. Turning to tennis, Spanish star Rafael Nadal will end 2017 as the world's top-ranked men's player, and his Swiss rival Roger Federer will end the year at number two. Nadal and Federer each won two Grand Slam titles in 2017. Rafa captured the French Open and the U.S. Open, while Roger won the trophy at the Australian Open and Wimbledon. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2017, let's look back on Federer's triumph in Australia in January, when he and American star Serena Williams earned accolades. Here's a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Roger Federer and Serena Williams, who solidified their status as perhaps the greatest male and female tennis players of all time, with singles titles over the weekend at the Australian Open in Melbourne. Roger and Serena showed that youth will not be served in Melbourne. Federer won his record-extending 18th Grand Slam singles title with a thrilling five-set comeback victory over Spanish rival Rafael Nadal in the men's final. And Serena beat her older sister, Venus Williams, 6-4 and 6-4, to win her 23rd Grand Slam singles trophy, the most by any player, male or female, in the modern era. Speaking on the court after her record-setting victory, Serena praised Venus.
There's no way I would be at 23 without her. There's no way I would be at 1 without her. There's no way I would have anything without her. She's my inspiration. She's the only reason I'm standing here today and the only reason that the Williams sisters exist. So thank you, Venus, for inspiring me.
Meanwhile, Roger Federer also had some inspirational words of praise for Rafa Nadal after his victory over the Spanish star.
You know, I'm happy for you. I would have been happy to lose too, to be honest. The comeback was perfect as it was. So tennis is a tough sport. There's no draws, but if there was going to be one, I would have been very happy to accept a draw tonight and share it with Rafa, really.
Swiss tennis star Roger Federer had a chance to reflect some more on his epic 5-set victory over Rafael Nadal.
I had to look at some highlights again just to remember how close the match was again, and then just go through the emotions again. Especially what makes me most happy is when I see my friends and my family happy, and all, you know, my support team, everybody who was there. When I saw how they were celebrating again, it made it emotional. When I heard that in Switzerland people were following me, and I saw people just being generally really happy for me that I want to slam again, and particularly this one, maybe it's a bit of a fairy tale, you know, after the comeback, to come back this way.
Roger Federer came back from a 3-1 deficit in the decisive 5th set against Rafa Nadal. He won 5 consecutive games to stun Nadal and lift the trophy. And getting back to Serena Williams, she lifted the trophy in Melbourne when she was 8 weeks pregnant, making her victory even more impressive. On September 1st, 2017, Serena gave birth to a daughter named Alexis Olympia Ohanian Jr., named after Serena's husband, Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers try to extend the National Basketball Association's longest current winning streak.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America, they're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association news, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers go after their 12th victory in a row later Monday night, when they play the host Chicago Bulls. While the Cavs are on a winning roll right now, the Bulls are struggling. They have a record of 3-18, the worst record in the NBA. In NBA results Sunday, James Harden and the Houston Rockets won their 7th game in a row, a 118-95 road victory over the Los Angeles Lakers. Harden is leading the NBA in scoring and assists right now, and he had another big game for the Rockets, firing in a game-high 36 points. In Florida, the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors scored a 123-95 victory over the host Miami Heat. Stephen Curry scored 30 points, and Kevin Durant added 24 more points for the Warriors, who have won 3 games in a row. In New York City, Montenegrin center Nikola Vucevic scored 34 points, including 8 straight during a crucial stretch of the 4th quarter, to help lead the Orlando Magic to a 105-100 victory over the New York Knicks. Another European center, the young Latvian star Kristaps Porzingis of the Knicks, did not play after spraining his ankle last week in a game against the Miami Heat. In Texas, the Oklahoma City Thunder scored a 90-87 road victory over the San Antonio Spurs. Russell Westbrook, the NBA's reigning most valuable player, recorded his seventh triple-double of the season for the Thunder, 22 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists. And New Zealand center Steven Adams added 19 points and 10 rebounds for Oklahoma City. It was the 10th win of the season for the Thunder against 12 losses. San Antonio has a record of 15 wins and 8 losses, putting the Spurs 3.5 games behind the first-place Houston Rockets in the NBA's Western Conference. And in one more result from Sunday, the Minnesota Timberwolves topped the visiting Los Angeles Clippers 112-106. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, we'll hear from the VOA social media reporter, Andrew Palcheski.
Voice of America.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us once again on the show is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. I guess you can say the tiger didn't quite roar in the Bahamas, but he was heard.
He was indeed, and it's the first of our three stories today with a theme of big comebacks. And, of course, we do start with Tiger Woods. As the PGA Tour put out on their social media a video of Tiger Woods, they just had the statement, he's back. And that was the sentiment from a lot of people, with Woods returning to golf for the first time in 10 months, dealing, of course, with back surgery, with that arrest for driving while impaired after taking some of the pain medication from the back surgery. So a lot going on in Tiger Woods' life. But he and his fans are very happy to see him back on the course, including a lot of famous fans who are weighing in on social media. None other than Steph Curry writing, "The wait is over. The wait is over." Michael Phelps, of course, the most decorated Olympian ever, writing that he's pumped to be watching Tiger Woods back out there. And the great Bo Jackson, who we just talked about on the show last week, celebrating a birthday last week, says it's a great day to see Tiger Woods back on the golf course. So a lot of people very excited to see him there. Tiger Woods excited to be there as well. He tweeted out a photo where he's teeing off and he writes, "Time to go to work."
Well, Tiger was non-committal in the Bahamas about his schedule for 2018. He said he's going to take a look at the schedule and see which tournaments fit him. And I think we might see him do kind of like Roger Federer in tennis, sort of pick and choose to preserve his health.
Yeah, it happens when you get up there in age and in these sports, golf and tennis. And actually, funny that you mentioned tennis, because on hand there in the Bahamas to watch the former world number one in golf go at it and make his return is the current world number one in tennis, Rafael Nadal. So they are good friends. He was there to cheer him on. Woods, as you mentioned, not quite making a roar, maybe more of a meow, tied for ninth place, but making a huge huge comeback in the rankings. He jumps up from 1,199 in the world to number 668. So still a ways off from that number one spot. I'm sure he'd love to be back there, but jumping up by my math about 600 or so spots up, that's pretty good day at the office.
And as we've talked about before, Andrew, I think the TV executives are always happy to see Tiger out there on the golf course.
Yes, if the social media chatter was any indication, I think it's very good for golf generally that he's back and people are watching these games and talking about him.
What else is trending on this Monday, Andrew?
Well, Sonny, it was about a year ago, November 28th, 2016, that a plane carrying the Brazilian soccer team Chapecoense crashed in Colombia as that team was traveling to play in the Copa Sudamerica tournament. 71 out of 77 people on board were killed, including 19 of the 22 members of that team. After the crash, you might remember there was an outpouring of support, including Atletico Nacional, the team they were supposed to play in that tournament, forfeiting, so Chapecoense could get the title there, teams loaning them players, and very notably, Brazil's Football Federation offering to waive regulations for Chapecoense to make it easier for them to rebuild, and they said, no, we want to rebuild properly. Well, about a year to the day since that plane crash, Chapecoense is not only rebuilt, they're not only coming back, Sonny, they're having the same success and even greater success than they did before the accident. Because this week, Chapecoense qualified for the Copa Libertadores, which is the most prestigious cup in South America, prestigious soccer competition in South America among club teams. And they did it in dramatic fashion, scoring in the 95th minute of their decisive game to send them to that tournament. So they are getting a lot of very well-deserved attention a year after that tragedy for this amazing comeback story. A fantastic achievement given what they've been through. Many people pointing out they didn't ask for any favors after that tragedy. They didn't want any of the regulations waived to make it easier. They said, we're going to do this the right way, and that's certainly paying off. And as one person very poignantly put, their former teammates are probably watching from above and must be very proud of their team. So they are getting a lot of well-deserved attention for this great comeback after such a terrible, terrible event about a year ago.
Truly a poignant sports comeback story, Andrew.
Yeah, and I think that they're going to have a lot of fans as they go through this cup and they go through this competition. I think they're going to have a lot of fans pulling for them. It's, you know, we talk about these moments in sports that are kind of the made-for-movies moments, the comebacks and the facing adversity, and this would certainly be one of them. If they can get through and get into this tournament, which they've done, and then win it, that would be an amazing moment. So I think they're going to have a lot of support behind them if they try to do that.
Any more comeback sports stories out there trending, Andrew?
Yes, big comeback for the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, we were talking about a few weeks ago about the 16-game win streak by the Boston Celtics to put them atop the NBA Eastern Conference. And we were saying that the Cavaliers were looking kind of shaky. Not sure if they were going to repeat that Eastern Conference final from last year where the Cavs faced the Celtics. Well, Cleveland, not to be outdone, they are riding their own 11-game win streak that has pushed them up to second now in the Eastern Conference, right behind the Celtics. Lots of fans hoping that they do get that rematch in the East. And I think a lot of fans want to see the four-peat. They want to see Cleveland and Golden State go for the fourth consecutive year in the finals. Of course, that means Cleveland has to win the Eastern Conference to get there and do that. There's some inspiration maybe to be drawn from the big comeback from the Cleveland Indians. Of course, they had that 22-game win streak in Major League Baseball earlier this year, although they didn't go very far in the postseason, so maybe pick and choose your inspiration there. But also big news today that Derrick Rose, after injuring his ankle, might be returning to the Cleveland Cavaliers, a big comeback for the team there. He wasn't sure if he was even going to play basketball anymore after that injury, but he says now he is going to come back. And so they will add just another tool to their arsenal to keep that going. But they play the Chicago Bulls tonight. We'll have to see if they can make it 12 in a row and then some.
Well, speaking of comebacks, Andrew, we hope you come back on Tuesday.
I will absolutely be here. I will come back every day. As long as you'll have me, I'll be here.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. And that wraps up the December 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Through its binational commission with Nigeria, the U.S. hopes to find new areas of collaboration with regard to security cooperation, economic growth and development, and democracy and governance. In the northwest region of Nigeria, Boko Haram and ISIS West Africa have wrought a great deal of destruction on the Nigerian people, forcing more than 2 million to flee from their homes. Speaking in Nigeria, Deputy Secretary of State John Sullivan said, "I want to emphasize that the United States is Nigeria's partner in this fight. We are committed to helping the Nigerian people provide their own security." The U.S. has helped Nigeria modernize its military, but a military response alone in the Northeast cannot lead to sustained peace, said Deputy Secretary Sullivan. Nigeria's success requires improvements to the economy and governance off the battlefield, including credible investigations of human rights violations and mechanisms to hold those guilty accountable for their actions. To help those affected by Boko Haram rebuild their lives, Deputy Secretary Sullivan announced that the U.S. Agency for International Development will contribute an additional $45.5 million. The United States will continue to support food security and nutrition programs in Nigeria, including development programs focused on the northeastern states. Predictable economic policies and a transparent justice system are necessary to create an environment for growth and to attract businesses and investment to Nigeria. Sufficient energy resources are critical to fueling growth in Nigeria. Through the U.S. government's Power Africa initiative, the U.S. will help the Nigerian government serve the majority of Nigerians who currently lack access to electricity. In particular, Deputy Secretary Sullivan announced a $1.3 million project to address the shortage of gas available for gas-fired power plants under the Power Africa initiative. Finally, in addition to supporting the security and economic growth of Nigeria, the United States recognizes that good governance is necessary to sustain both over the long term. Fighting corruption and ensuring free and fair elections will make the government of Nigeria more accountable to its people and better equipped to secure its citizens and keep its economy growing. The United States looks forward to working with Nigeria to reach their shared security, development, and governance goals.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering African news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.